From coast to coast and around the world, you are walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world who share their knowledge to assist in Earth's ascension. This is a live call-in show, so give us a call toll-free at 1-888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697 for our international listeners. You can also email your questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net, and your questions will be answered in real time on the air. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I'm an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years experience. I have helped thousands of people from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives make their invisible dreams visible. Utilizing my gifts, I simultaneously am in touch with the past, present, and future, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki Master Teacher, and ordained minister. If you're looking for peace of mind, the right relationship, financial independence, or clarity about your life's purpose, give me a call. My life's purpose is to be of service to you. If you're looking to manifest your perfect life, go to my website, www.healing-visions.com, and click on the Manifesting Techniques link. There you will get tools that will assist you in co-creating your perfect life on purpose right now. I can be reached toll-free at 888-240-6057 or check out either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net and www.healing-visions.com. Tonight I have the honor to have back with me manifesting guru and my colleague, Jeffrey Oswald. Jeffrey, welcome to Walking with Spirit. I'd love for you to give the folks a little background if they missed the show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I want you to.
What, you want me?
Yeah.
Well, a little background on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've basically got my training through experiences that I've had in India. I've worked with a couple different teachers that have basically helped me to see through the mind and through the clouds, basically the thought forms, the ideas, the beliefs that basically stop us from really being connected to source,
mm-hmm.
Connected to spirit, connected to that our true essence. And so it's really helped me to get in touch with a power that we all have. It's very natural to be able to attract those desires that you want. And so this is what manifesting basically stems from, is the effortless ability to receive and attract your desires from a very natural place where there's no struggle or effort or, you know, trying to, you know, attract the right dream man or dream mate or, you know, the your soulmate. Or that career or the spiritual experience that you want, or, you know, anything basically that, you know, is your heart yearning, that your heart is yearning for it for a reason. And it's really basically beyond your control. So my job for the last 7 years has been to coach people, through the manifesting sessions, teaching them how to raise their vibration to get to that level so they can basically become a manifesting magnet.
Okay.
So it's been pretty fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, you said that, you know, you help people effortlessly have the ability to effortlessly attract what it is that they want. Why is it that we have so much effort in everything that we do?
Well, we get attached to the end result or outcome, thinking that that is what's going to make us complete or, you know, satisfied or blissful or in a state of joy or whatever. And so we get attached to it, you know, in such a way that we just keep running and pushing like, you know, a donkey after its carrot, just like focus, focus, you know, go, go, go. And one day you'll reach it when all of a sudden there's a bigger carrot, you know, and you have to run faster. And it's not until that donkey just sits down, relax, you know, tilts his head back and, you know, is able to, you know, receive its joy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that. We don't really understand, what we're doing until we suffer or struggle. And that's kind of a wake up call for us to stop and tilt our, you know, intention inwards and just relax. And from that place, we naturally become a manifesting magnet.
Okay. Do you think that we're programmed or pre-programmed from past lives, even about suffering and things have to be hard in order to manifest what it is that we want?
You know, we do have some tendencies to we have memories that, you know, if you do a lot of meditation and you go basically deep inside and kind of roll the clock back, you'll see that there are experiences that you can't explain why you feel so close to these things or these people or these thoughts and things. And so you have a tendency to sort of lean towards sort of a group or, you know, an energy of beliefs and things like that. Yet ultimately we do have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And that free will is, you know, it's basically our true destiny, is my experience, that we can choose to completely be free from all of those past lives or past experiences that we're carrying along. So, yes, there's a blueprint, and, yes, there is free will.
Okay, so how do we activate that free will? Let's say that right now someone's in a job they feel is really a dead-end job, but for whatever reason they are afraid to move forward to get out of that. How do you really activate that free will, the sense of knowing that things will be better, things will be different?
Yeah, well, there's nothing really to do to activate it. It's already activated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the sun is already shining. No matter what you do, you can't turn it off. It's more about recognizing, though, that the sun is shining, you know, that the free will is already here.
Mm-hmm.
It's available, that you do have free choice to decide left or right at each moment, you know, yes or no at each moment, if you're going to accept this next experience that life's delivering you, or you're going to reject it. You know, it's ultimately your choice, and it's just recognizing that you always do have that choice, and that you can't take away from anybody. You know, even if you've been in prison for your entire life,
mm-hmm.
you know, you still have free will to what do you want to imagine, what do you want to dream about, you know, even in prison.
Okay.
So you can't take away free will.
So we're basically imprisoning ourselves with our mind by limiting our thinking?
Yeah. Mind is really the only thing that creates the prison. And, you know, it's an imaginary prison. It's
mm-hmm.
not a real prison. And really, there are no real prisons in this world. It's an infinite universe that we live in with, you know, with no walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we just realize that, we can kind of step out of our own little sheltered box of thinking that we tend to step into, you know, because we feel comfortable there. We've created these little velvet ruts in our lives of, you know, situations, people, friends, and family that we feel after a while in prison. But, you know, at the beginning, they made us feel comfortable. And now it's, you know, it may create a sort of prison, these sort of relationships or careers or money, even, you know, anything could create a prison for you. So.
Well, I love that velvet rut. I mean, that just felt like way comfortable.
Yeah. Anything, you become a velvet rut. It's one of those crazy things that, you know, it's like you achieve your dream and you keep trying to achieve that same dream. And that, again, becomes some sort of rut because you're not really expanding into something higher.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Jeffrey Oswald, and his website is, well, one of them is www.enlightenedbeings.com. He is a manifesting coach. So check out his website. And Jeffrey, what's your phone number?
303-926-0855.
Okay. Now, this is a live call-in show, so we would love to hear from you. You can give us a call, and our numbers are toll-free, 1-888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697. You can also email your questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net and we'll get right to you live right here in real time. Jeffrey, let me ask you this. You mentioned earlier about, you know, wanting something and then being attached to the outcome. How do we detach from the outcome?
Well, when you're connected to Source, right, you feel this deep harmony, this peaceful inner calm, right? And you're basically living from a centered, balanced reference place and space that it truly satisfies you. Okay, there's nothing really in the outer world that can match this. Okay, it's incomparable. Mm-hmm. And so when you're living from this place, it's, you know, desires come and go. It's part of why we're here is to, it gives us direction, it gives us some adventure, you know, desires are part of life. And so when you're living from this place, you have a desire, it's like, okay, great. This is something that, you know, part of me or my heart likes to experience or would like to experience. So, you know, this is something I'm going to set an intention towards. And from that place, you're not attached to it because you're living from this source. Okay. You're just, you know, you're already at home. You've already arrived, right? I mean, the desire is going to give you what? Joy, freedom, enlightenment, you know, feeling rich, feeling loved, you know, whatever you're after. Okay. It's going to, you're, you know, you think it's going to give you that, but if you're already there, right? There's no attachment. There's no need for an attachment because you're already there.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, you already live in paradise, but hey, let's move to Hawaii. You know, it's like it's redundant, you know, it's like you're already there.
So as long as we can open our eyes and truly pay attention, that's when we reap the benefits of what we're looking for, or at least what we think we're looking for?
Yeah, I think it's more simple than that. It's more about that your eyes are already open, right? Your consciousness is already lit, right? You are already conscious of these words and this message, and this, you're listening. Something's listening, right? You're paying attention. So there's the light is already on, right? It's just relaxing into it. It's as simple as that. It's not about trying to achieve anything. It's about realizing what you already are.
Okay. When people think about manifesting or they hear the word abundance, the first thing that generally comes to their mind is money. And I would like for you to share with the audience how manifesting an abundance is much, much more than just the green stuff that we need to keep living here.
Yeah. Well, manifesting has to do with a vibration. It's a sense of energy, a sense of a well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an excitement. It's an inspired place that you live from. And when you're manifesting things and people and situations and, you know, whatever it is that your heart is after, you know, there is a sense of that, you know, that you are like the center of your reality, that you're able to control your reality on some level, okay? And I say that very loosely, on some level, that there's a feeling of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, as far as, you know, how that, you know, gives you a sense of joy, it's up to the individual, but what it does is it brings you back to your center on a deeper level. It really centers you, brings you really into your core, into your essence, and helps you really relax into you, which is what you're here for on many levels, is to really come home to yourself. You know, it's not about getting more because, you know, there's no pockets in heaven. You can't bring anything with you, right? It's about really being more. And so in that aspect of beingness, you become more. You feel like you're a bigger being. The money is just, you know, it's kind of like icing on the cake. You know, money is something that, you know, once you have a lot of it, you don't really want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like anything. Once you have a lot of love or beingness, you don't really need it anymore. You've satisfied it. So manifesting takes it into a much bigger perspective that it's about you can attract and create anything, that there's no limit, literally. And there's no limit as far as the speed, the time limit that it takes to get to you. In fact, the higher your vibration gets, the faster things come to you. Okay. And there's a whole secret formula in the manifesting program about how to, what you can actually do to, make things manifest quicker. And so that I'll leave for you to discover if you feel inclined to look into the manifesting program.
Okay. Well, you said that, we can manifest, and I know that your 90-day manifesting program, you use a lot of visualization and, you know, positive thought in that process. How does that equate to, say, a person living right here in America who is below the poverty line right now and just can't seem to get ahead, but they just, you know, they want to in every stretch of the imagination? How was it that they've kind of missed the boat?
Well, they haven't. You know, they're basically experiencing something that their soul or their ego or whatever that they are needing to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so we may look at it like, oh my gosh, poverty, what a terrible thing, you know, or we may look at a rich person and say, oh my gosh, they're stuck in their rich gold-plated prison, what a terrible thing. You can look at either direction on the money scale, and you can, you know, say there's something wrong. You can judge it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a matter of that, you know, people who are, you know, don't have money, that they're missing out on something. They may have a richer inner world, or they may have, you know, a much more relaxing day than somebody who's, you know, running for the next cheese, you know. So it just depends on what you want in life. And maybe the people who don't have enough money, they don't really, really want money. Maybe they think they want money, and that's, you know, what drives them in life. They just think about money and the lottery tickets all the time, just go through their heads. Yet really what they really want deeper than that is just to be loved, or just to feel at home in their own heart. And that's deeper than the money. So it's about checking for the deeper drives, you know, that really pull at you. And sometimes, yeah, we get all wrapped up in superficial drives, and, you know, that's all fine and dandy. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that, you know, there's something that is deeper, and it'll surface at some point in your life, whether it's on your deathbed, you know, or on the way, you know, at some point, the real, true thing that you really want will come up. And that you'll tell by how emotional you get, how moved you get. Maybe it pops up through a movie or a song, you know, that you hear in the radio, or something that moves you inside. And you'll see that emotional movement is a sign that there's something deeper inside you that you really want much more than the money.
Okay. So if we stay in that vibrational flow of love, if we stay in that energy, does that increase our magnetism, so to speak, for whatever it is that we want in life?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, love is the unstoppable force.
Okay. And do we have to love self first and then others? Because there's so many people, you know, I counsel people all day long. There's so many people loving others, but when it comes to themselves, they don't like themselves very much, much less love them.
Yeah. You don't. Nobody has to love themselves, but it's more of a get to, more of an opportunity. You get to love yourself first because it's, you know, it's bringing the heart home to itself, and so that it can overflow onto someone else. If, you know, it's like a beggar giving to a king. If you don't love yourself first, there's nothing to give to others, and it's a desperate situation, and desperation, we know, is not an aphrodisiac on any level.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, loving yourself is not something you have to do. It is a glorious opportunity. It's a beautiful choice that you get to make every morning you wake up. The first thing is just, how can I love, accept, improve, appreciate myself right now? In what way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just find one way. And you could ride that one thought all day long, and it'll grow so big to the next day that it blossoms into something else.
Okay, great. Okay, I want to shift gears for a second here, and I want to talk about relationships. You know, this is the holiday time, and there's so many people out there right now who aren't in a steady relationship, or they're looking for someone to spend the holidays with, and they're feeling pretty low, pretty down.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we could share with them to kind of give them, first of all, a bit of peace of mind and maybe turn them into the right direction so that they can start to manifest the love that they say they want?
Okay. The first thing that I would suggest is to get out your front door and go help somebody who is more needy or more desperate or in a worse off place than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meaning, you know, find somebody who's been, you know, evicted from their home or something and, you know, help them out, bring them a dinner or take them in or something, you know, or go around and, there's plenty of programs out there to help, you know, families in need, contribute, you know, do any kind of charity work.
Uh-huh.
Would be really powerful because you would come home feeling so much more rich and you would also create some, you know, relationships on that level, you know, that you would start to reach out your boundary a little bit more and you'd feel really good about yourself. So, you know, that's one thing to do. Another thing is to contact some people that, you know, you haven't talked to or perhaps that you may be even angry at or they may be angry at you and just apologize, you know, apologize for your lack of communication. Just say, I'm sorry. And, you know, you don't have to talk about anything. Just let it out there that, you know, it's time to let go of this old baggage. And, you know, just closing down those doors that are wounded or, you know, letting them heal, it opens up space for a new relationship in your life.
Okay.
Often people they don't have the energy for a new relationship because they're constantly being drained by their past relationships that they haven't really healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's constantly, every morning, it's eating at them underneath the surface. You know, they may not think about it, may not even be conscious of it that, you know, Joe from, you know, 4 years ago, you know, still breaking my heart every morning, you know, and it's like, okay, well, it's time to really meet him. And maybe you can't contact him, but, you know, you can talk to him inside your own mind, inside your own heart, and just say, I'm sorry, and let it go.
Well, you know, I want to address that a little bit closer because, and I'm not stereotyping here, but based on my experience and my practice, I found that it's more difficult for a woman to let go if Joe has broken the heart. Can you share any tips that would help someone get past, you know, oh my God, you know, he's like jilted me or, you know, he's let me go and I don't want to be let go?
Well, that really comes back to loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it really doesn't matter. I've seen both men and women be completely desperate on both sides. And I found that it's the actual lack of self-love and self-worth and seeing this appreciation for the self, feeling appreciation for yourself, that creates desperation,
mm-hmm.
creates that neediness. You know, like, I'm only half. And if you are with me, then I'm whole, you know. And two halves don't make a whole when you're multiplying, right?
Right.
One half times one half is a quarter, you know. So it's like you want to look at it that way, that you're multiplying the love. And so if you take one whole person times one whole person, you get one whole relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about working on yourself first. That's why you're alone. It's because you're here to work on yourself.
Okay.
You know, if you had someone in your life right now, it would just complicate the heck out of life. I mean, it would make things much slower for your own healing.
Okay. Now, in your 90-day manifesting program, you have a chapter or two on relationships. Is there anything that you can share from that that might prompt our readers to take a look at that program a little bit more closely?
Yeah. There's a couple different things that we recommend. Probably the most important is to focus on what you like or love about the person you're with, that you focus on those qualities of why you're with them instead of, you know, why you don't want to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people, once they start, you know, we call it dust, the dust gets collected on the mirror. After a while, the relationship, you start to look really close at this person, you start to see, oh my gosh, they have these little flaws. I don't like this about them. Or then they leave their, you know, their food out, you know, in the kitchen, they don't do their dishes or whatever. I mean, they have these little errors, and we start to just focus on those instead of really seeing the bigger picture and seeing, you know, what are the deeper qualities that really make my heart sing compared to some other person that just would, you know, really not, you know, bring me home to myself. You know, that she has, you know, or he has 1,000 different, you know, other things that we don't agree upon.
Uh-huh.
When you could be looking at all, you know, the 10,000 things that you actually do agree about or you do like about this person. So it's just about focusing on what you do like. And you'll see that the more things that you focus on, the more things you can count and look at that you do like about this person, the more they grow. Then now, next year, it's like they have twice as many things that you like about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just multiplies because whatever you focus on grows and you're a manifesting being and you're just manifesting more positive qualities in your partner.
Well, do you think one of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high in this country is because we don't take the time to understand those differences in others?
Yeah, that's one of the many, many reasons.
Okay.
Many things that contribute to that. I would say partially, even close to 50% of the reasons have to do with how people generally spend their time away from work.
Mm-hmm.
That they may be focused either on sources of entertainment in the outer world or media instead of actually connecting on a heart level. They may be in an environment that's kind of toxic instead of something that's more healing. And so if that generally creates a foundation that's kind of on base, you know, in the sand or kind of, you know, rocky soil instead of something that's just really on a really solid surface, which would be something that's more from the heart and a healing place, you know, in a healing space where you're not really, you know, inundated by a lot of the media that, you know, really basically tells you that you don't have it all, that you're not connected to the source.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you don't have our product, then, you know, you're missing out. And so, if we just, you know, turn the dial down on that, I mean, if the whole nation just turned the dial down on media for even, you know, a few months, you would see divorce rates go down significantly.
Probably even if it was just a couple of days. A
couple of days, even, yeah. Because people, what would they do with your time? You know, you'd actually start talking to your partner in
mm-hmm.
a very, like, eye-to-eye contact manner. Like, what, you know, what's going on with your life? I'm really curious. Not from a place of interrogating, but from a place of real honest curiosity. Like, man, we don't have any entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We might as well get to know each other.
Oh, novel concept.
Yeah, it would be a real blessing for this planet.
Yeah. Yes, it would. Now, you have the 90-Day Manifesting Program, and if the listeners would like more information on that, they can go to www.healing-visions.com and click on the Manifesting Techniques link and find out all about it. And if anyone would like coaching with Joffrey, give them the information.
Yes, just go to enlightenedbeings.com, and you can click on Life Mastery Coaching, and there's also link at the very bottom of the page about samadhi coaching, which is more of a spiritual-based coaching.
Okay. And if you'd like to talk to us live on the air, we're answering questions for free. That number is 888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697 or email us at spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net. Joffrey, I'm on your email list, and I know you have a quite extensive email list. And a couple of days ago, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, you sent this email out that really intrigued me. And it was entitled, The 8 Secrets to a Rich and Fulfilling Life.
Mm.
And I was wondering if we could share with the audience the philosophy behind those secrets and then what those 8 secrets are. Maybe give some details or maybe a success story that you've had with some of those.
Okay. Basically, the secrets are about getting on the playing field of your life. Okay, they're based on that we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. Okay, something, a meteor could hit your house tonight. You don't know.
Uh-huh.
So it's really about getting on the playing field with the relationship right now that you're in tonight. I mean, this moment, just starting being alive right now and just doing what is on that plate, maybe saying something that, you know, that you've been holding back, you've resisted saying to somebody, or perhaps doing something that you've been afraid of doing, calling someone or, you know, doing, signing up for something that, you know, would be something really fun, something exciting. Okay. There's also an aspect to a rich life that has to do with connecting with people. And this philosophy has to do with this, a real deep inner spiritual nature that we are, that we just bring that out to let people see it and let everyone just know that we're not hiding behind trying to manipulate others to get them to like us or, you know, get anything really. We're just wanting to share ourselves and connect on a heart level.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just creating time in your schedule to do that. Another secret that we have is about just contacting people and telling them how much you love them and how much they enriched your life. That's how much, you know, they've brought, appreciation to, you know, your life at some level, and just letting them know that, that really enriches your life as well. Another secret is to forgive someone who's wronged you in the past, because grudges just drain you, and it just sucks away your energy. So these, you know, these philosophies, they really come from just things that we would do if we weren't always so busy caught in the velvet rut or being entertained by, you know, something outside of, you know, people, you know, basically, you know, TV or media of some kind that really just sucks away our attention that we can actually put into relationships or put into creating something in our future, that, you know, we want to go on a vacation, or maybe we want to start a business for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That can help people. So there's a wide variety of things that, you know, stop people from creating this. But I think it's important not to keep your focus on that, what's blocking you. It's going to break through your blocks by putting your attention on what inspires you instead.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the processes here in, you know, one of the secrets is to say no to activities that no longer inspire you.
Right.
How do we say no without feeling the guilt? And, you know, say if you're used to, because you set it up a long time ago, to doing something with your mom every Thursday at 5 o'clock, and not that you don't love your mother, but you'd rather, you know, spend a different day with her or a different time. How do you say no without feeling so guilty about, you know, hurting them or letting them down?
Yeah, well, guilt is a choice, ultimately.
Interesting.
It's a choice. You don't have to go down that emotionally heavy road, because ultimately, if you look at it, if you're feeling guilty around about something, around somebody, it's going to bring their energy down too. And if you keep holding on to that guilt, it's going to bring tons of people down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're basically creating a lower vibration on the planet. So it's not in anybody's higher interest for you to actually engage yourself in guilt. In fact, guilt, what I've understood, is the lowest vibration that the planet is incurring upon itself. And if everybody just takes, you know, the next couple days or months of their life just to practice saying no to guilt, because they can, and
uh-huh.
it's a choice, and saying yes to something that's a little bit lighter. Maybe it's about connecting on a more intimate level, or being more free, or, you know, saying that this is about my own empowerment, that I can say no to something that I've always said yes to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really about you stepping into your power. So it's a choice, ultimately.
Okay. Can you share with us a story about someone you've worked with who finally stepped into their power after a bit of struggle?
Yeah. There's a client I've had that has been going back and forth for years with relationships that she's had, and we worked over a long period of time. It was about a year on really getting out into a healthy relationship. And she went back and forth with this constantly because, it was basically her whole life was living in fear around stepping into a trusting relationship. And basically, I kept asking her to, from the very first month that we started working, is to go out and to do things that she was afraid of doing that was also inspiring in some level, like going on a date with somebody even. And it was just terrifying for her to do this. And so, you just start with where people are at. And so it took her many, many months to just even get the courage to even think about, putting her profile online or asking someone out. And so it was just this movement that was kind of, from my standpoint, it was very slow because it was like the tide kept coming in and out. And it wasn't like anything was changing. And yet from her standpoint, it was just every day was this struggle to like let go of the fear. And there came one point, I remember, where she took a class that was about, a mugging class where you got to pretend like you were going to be mugged by an offender. And she went through this class and basically got the privilege of, beating up this person who was all in pads, of course.
Oh, okay.
And it's all set up in that way where you're protected. They're not going to harm you, and there's people there to help you to egg you on to get you to really step in your power. And she says after that class, there was no fear at all because she knew that she could defend herself and really protect herself and really move into the world in confidence. And within a few weeks, she was going on dates and having fun and going flying all over the world, in fact, going to foreign countries and dancing with men in foreign countries and doing things that were just unheard of, from maybe a year ago. And then amazing things started to manifest, actually. She actually inherited almost $1 million.
Oh, wow.
Within a few months. And so, it just, things started to skyrocket, okay? And it just blossomed out of this part of her that really needed to embrace her fear instead of run from it and avoid it, to actually face it and meet it. And so that was probably one of my hardest, clients that I found had the most successful outcome.
Okay. Now, was she able to make this switch in a couple of days, a couple of years, a couple of weeks?
The switch, it's kind of like almost an overnight thing, but to lead up to that, it takes a couple months sometimes. It depends on the person.
Okay.
It's like a kernel of popcorn. It doesn't just explode right away. It takes some time to heat up the oil,
mm-hmm.
But there always is that critical point where it does explode,
mm-hmm.
and it does transform completely from this tight, contracted, small feeling, this small experience, to something that's big and large and expanded and light. We each are just like popcorn, and we're walking around. It's very tight and contracted about, I got to get my dreams, I got to have my desires to be fulfilled. And it's like we can explode at any moment, and when we do, it's a real positive explosion, actually, to explode out, our releasing a lot of our pent-up tensions and, hammering ourselves, all sorts of, negative criticisms and things like that,
mm-hmm.
that we just let it go and we get really light. And so it's an inner transformation that manifests into an outer transformation all around you.
Okay. You work a lot with the Samadhi philosophy. Could you explain to our audience what that is and how you work with it?
Yeah, Samadhi is basically a state of being that is in a state of oneness with the universe, and including the entire planet and all the people in it and all the cities and all the man-made things. It's a oneness with everything that's happening, and there's no conflict with it. There's no right or wrong. There's a state of acceptance, and also there's a state of real just a spiritual connection with everyone and everything.
Okay.
And so it really brings us into a much different consciousness than anything that we're dealing with on the planet today. It's a completely different way of being.
Okay. Well, hold that thought for a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hey, Monique. This is Princess. How are you doing?
Wonderful, Princess. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have a question about the manifesting thing. I remember you were, and hello to you too, Joffrey. I called the last time you were on.
Yes,
hi. remember you told a story about the manifesting and how a woman asked for $3 and you felt that she was not totally honest, but you prayed a prayer over it and received a check later for $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, excuse me. I was at the store at the beginning of the month, and a gentleman asked me if I could spare a dollar. So I gave him a dollar, you know, and I asked for a similar blessing. I told you personally one time I needed about $10,000 to move, so
mm-hmm.
That's what I asked. And now, so far, my car has broken down.
Oh no.
And I'm kind of stuck at home here. So what I was wondering is, could this be the path that I'm supposed to be taking to receiving that $10,000, or you know, whatever it was I asked for?
Okay, Joffrey.
Absolutely, that there are no accidents in this world.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, if your car breaks down, it's basically to push you deeper inside yourself so you really get focused on
and also to take better care of my car.
Yeah, well, and you know, cars represent your personal power.
Yes,
so,
yes. Yes, I know that.
So if something around your personal power is, you know, falling apart, it's going to show up in your vehicle.
Ah, you know? Uh-huh.
Yeah, the inner world always mirrors the outer world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so it's just take it as a sign, you know, don't take it personally, but it's just a
oh,
sign.
No, I wasn't thinking about that, but it just struck my mind as I was listening to you guys, and I thought, well, you know, something's going on like that, and it's just, I just think that it's part of the road that I need to take to get to the money that I need.
Yeah. Well, Joffrey, could we give Princess, because she's a loyal listener and a very good client of mine, could we give
her
a tip or two that anybody else could pick up on and use too that would help her with manifesting? Because I know she's got a couple blocks and she's well aware of that. Is there anything that you can share with her that would help her manifest? And before you answer that, I do want to say that $3 that I gave away and then I asked for the blessing, that is a technique that I got from Joffrey way back when, either he or his wife, Margot. So I just put it out there and I kind of let it go. But Joffrey, is there anything that you can share with her?
I would start with really getting clear on how you'd like this $10,000 to come to you, okay, whether it's, you know, you could start simply by with cash or check or even, you know, with something that you did to receive it or, you know, getting more clarity around the actual, we'll call it the video clip that somebody would see. You know, if you could paint that picture for me, ideally, you know, how would you like it to come? And, you know, add in all sorts of colors and what are they wearing and, you know, what time of day is it and get really, really clear on that picture. And then just keep visualizing it and feeling as if it's already occurring.
Right. So I have a feeling that part of that came to me the other day because I started working on getting together some images. I love to make background images for windows and then through my talking with Monique and some other people, I got the idea to put some of my manifestations and some of my affirmations up on these beautiful backgrounds that the software generates.
Great.
And who knows, you know, maybe I might be able to, you know, sell them for a small price each.
hey, you know, you sell them for a dollar each.
Yeah.
You know, and 10,000 people buy them. It's, there you go.
Yeah. I'll have to keep you guys apprised on how that works out.
Yeah, we'd love to hear about it, because Joffrey's going to be on with us for a while, the fourth Tuesday of every month.
Wow, Joffrey looks like we'll be talking again then.
Okay. Well, Princess, thank you very much for your call.
And thank you too, dear. I'll get
take
an email
care.
Out to you, and I'll keep in touch.
Okay, thank
take
you.
Care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, the phone lines are open. The toll-free number is 1-888-268-4313 or 281-419-7697. You can also email those questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net. Before Princess's call, Joffrey, we were talking about the Samadhi philosophy. Was there anything else you wanted to share with us on that?
Samadhi is really something that is pretty foreign to people, and it really hasn't been introduced to the Western world. And so people may get kind of, kind of scared about what does that mean to really step into the sense of oneness. You know, what about, you know, having healthy boundaries
mm-hmm.
with people? And what if somebody, you know, just steals my money? Do I just say, oh, everything is, you know, it's all oneness, you know, and just, you know, let them go like that? And you know, what I found is that when you're vibrating on that high of a level, that those kinds of situations and experiences that, you know, when somebody maybe gets mugged or something, that those will not come your around your path. That somebody who's vibrating that on that high of a level, they can walk down a dark alley and be totally, like, not even seen. Like, people won't even, you know, a mugger won't even see that person.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to somebody who is really struggling in life, really clinging to money and terrified of it, that fear is a magnet, and it'll bring every mugger in the block to finding them. So that Samadhi vibration is, it's about trust. It's about really expanding your sense of self, you know, bring it beyond the body, beyond the mind, that you are not the body or the mind, that you're connected to all things as a spiritual being. And so you don't have to get caught in material things, you know, desires, or, you know, you lose something. It's not the end of the world. That you on some level will manifest it back into your life if it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you lose something, it's not, you know, on accident. There's no coincidences that it's needing to be gone from your life for this time, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe it's for you to create a space inside your life or inside your closet for something new.
You know, I chuckle because I am in a process right now of creating new banners for the psychic shows that I do, and I always have my picture on the banner.
Yeah.
And I have this one picture that I absolutely love because, you know, I don't photograph well, but this one got me really good. And I've been looking all over for this picture, and I can't find it. And I came to the realization yesterday that it's not supposed to be there. Just let it go. Once I came to the realization and I sent the information to the printer to be printed, guess what showed up?
Your picture, huh?
Yep.
Wow. About that.
So I got that lesson firsthand.
That's cool.
Okay. Now, we are in the midst of this wonderful Christmas season or holidays, D-A-Z-E, as some people call it. What advice can you give us on not overspending or how to spend responsibly at this period of time? Because a lot of people tend to go in debt to make someone else happy with the physical or the material in life, when
you know,
that's not necessarily
I would,
what they want or need.
I would say that it's an emotional debt that, you know, that they're going into. And so I don't really believe that, you know, you can't, you know, spend too much. Okay, and this may sound kind of bold, but this is a season for really seeing how abundant you are and how much you can stretch your limits and how much you can give.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the more that you can give, even if your pockets are empty, the more that you're going to see that something comes in the back door in your back pocket. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Or the universe will start to fill your pockets once you empty them. So it's, you know, going into debt because you want to impress somebody or you want them to love you is a whole different kind of topic. It's a whole different kind of debt,
mm-hmm.
and that's about the debt of not feeling loved. You know, it's the feeling of being desperate for love instead of realizing you're the source of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that of course is never, you're never going to be able to buy love or through gifts, and that's a whole different ball of wax. But as far as just giving from a place of love and appreciation and joy, I mean, give extra. You know, give more this season than you've ever given, and you'll see that you actually feel richer than, you know, than just kind of holding back and saying, oh, I don't have enough. You know, it's not inside me. And maybe, you know, just that extra is maybe you're giving like a poem that you write, or maybe you create an hour in your day and you go watch the sunset
uh-huh.
with your lover or your family or whatever. You know, that's giving a little extra. That's stepping beyond your reach, and that can be much more rewarding and to remember something long term. You know, you'll be able to recall on that one Christmas where you really decided to spend your energy in a much more, you know, connecting way. So I don't really believe in holding back your riches.
Okay.
That only makes you poorer. You know, this is about giving them away.
Okay. Well, I found that, you know, even just smiling and saying hello to someone or, you know, greeting them in a nice way mm-hmm. can make a difference. I remember when I was working back in corporate America, and I worked in one of these skyscrapers in downtown Oakland, and every day that I walked in, the security guard of all people would call me by name, because he'd asked me my name. He would call me by name, tell me that I was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous and have a wonderful day. And, you know, on the days when I wasn't really feeling that good, I wasn't really feeling like being at
yeah.
that job, just that small gesture got me through the day.
Yeah, that's great.
You know,
that's
so
really great.
And you know, and this gentleman, I mean, he's a security guard. How much money did he make? And, you know, he didn't seem to have a whole lot physically, but he had a whole lot of love.
Sound like he had the hots for you.
Probably. Well, I don't know, me and everybody else, because he knew a lot of people.
Yeah.
And but he would call us all by our first names. It was something that, you know, he didn't forget our names. And, you know, he paid attention to us.
Yeah.
And
great.
I think, you know, for a lot of people that sometimes made a great big difference in their day, because I know that it did for me.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like everything that we do comes back to one common denominator, and that's love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, do you have anything in your programs that could help us get in touch with our love for ourselves and for others?
Well, the entire program, I mean, it's a very extensive encyclopedia about manifesting. I mean, to go into, you know, anything in it in the next 30 seconds, it wouldn't really justify it.
No, we got some time. We've got about 7 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
So your, what was your question about?
Do you have anything in one of your programs that could give us any help and assistance on how to find love for ourselves and then give to the love to other folks?
Yeah, I would say just starting with that self-love, okay, just looking at one thing you appreciate about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just starting real simple and just looking at that one thing all the time. Like every time you think about yourself, think about that one thing somewhere. Whether you know, and you may just need to get a little creative and, you know, start to feel that one thing, whatever it is, and let it in on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go into your relationship, just bring that with you, that you are appreciating yourself while you're being with this person. And you'll see that sometime during that evening or the next day or the morning or whatever, that person will actually speak about that thing, or they'll mention it, or there will be some reference to it, even if you don't mention it at all. That's the power of the mind. That's the power of focusing. And it's just amazing confirmation to have that sort of reciprocation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really makes you realize that we're very united, that there's nothing really separating you and me, that it's just a matter of really opening your heart to receive that connection and to just, you know, to know that it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the love, you know, it's that connection. And so it's really simplifying things instead of trying to figure out what to say, the right thing to say, or the right thing to do, even. It's just really being present with people.
Okay, Geoffrey, let's share with the people more of all that you do. You do the coaching, and they can get information regarding that where?
at enlightenedbeings.com. And I also do something called an Akashic Record reading, which is basically a soul reading. And there's different kinds of coaching as well that can mix that in. And that's all at enlightenedbeings.com. It's a pretty big website. There's a lot to learn. There's 100-some pages to read, different information, different philosophies, different ways of life, and it all has to do with enlightenment.
Hmm. Okay. So it seems like you give a lot away.
Well, I try to give everything away, and, you know, it's also about finding that healthy boundary to provide for yourself, you know, and letting it in. You know, it's about receiving as well, which can be sometimes the hardest thing for Americans, is to actually soften, to learn how to receive, you know, because we're so into this giving thing that it's like, you know, just letting it in and letting down the walls and the shields and letting somebody love you can be the most incredible thing.
Well, do you feel there's a difference between receiving and being a taker?
Yeah, a taker is somebody who, you know, is actively, aggressively trying to get what they want, and somebody who's just accepting and receiving is just like an open palm that's just waiting for whatever to come in. And it's a receiver is someone who's, they don't have a preference as to what they get. Maybe they get anger back, maybe they get judgment back, maybe they get love back. They're just open. They're just receiving life. And they know that, you know, there's always something more to come. It's not going to just stop with judgment or anger or negativity. There's something beyond that. And so that's the secret of, you know, staying like an open flute or an open palm, just receiving the next experience and the next one and the next one. And so you just become an openness, a walking, you know, openness to life. And boy, there's a lot to experience in life. It doesn't stop delivering experiences, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We just keep getting them like the Energizer Bunny keeps going and going, huh?
Well, that's why we're here, you know? I mean, have you ever stopped having an experience?
No.
No.
No, unless I just choose to keep repeating the same one, and I think it was a movie like that, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
But
he
eventually got it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the definition of insanity, right? When you just keep trying, you know, keep having the same experience and expecting different results.
Yes, but it's amazing how many of us are insane.
Yeah, well, you know, it creates insanity, and yet maybe that's the experience that you're needing to have, you know, just to really stop. And if you just stop, you know, just be still and just go into this stillness, just silence and stillness, the insanity stops. You know, you're able to actually sleep at night. You know, there's actually peace if you just stop, even for, you know, half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit in your own stillness.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just so many of us are afraid to really get to know ourselves. You know, we've been programmed to, you know, go external for happiness and go external for love and go external for anything, and coming within to that divine spark within, I think it's a little scary for some of us.
Yeah. And it may seem scary, and yet, you know, fear is just excitement in disguise.
Yeah. And if not, we might get to come back and do it all over again in another
life. I'm sure you will. You know, there's no question on that. It's just, you know, the choice of that you can have it tonight if you want. You don't have to wait. You know,
okay.
It's just about letting it in.
Okay. Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you for being my guest again this month. You will be on with me, I think, the fourth Tuesday of each month for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
except for February. We're going to be in India that month.
Oh, okay. So they manifested India, folks. We can do the same thing. If you'd like to connect with Jeffrey, give him a call at area code 303-926-0855, or check out his website at www.enlightenedbeings.com. I'm Monique Chapman. If you'd like to connect with me, please give me a call at 888-240-6057, or check out either one of my websites, www.healing-visions.com or www.walkingwithspirit.net. I will be back next week with Alan Mesher, and he's the author of Just Who Do You Think You Are? So So have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, and namaste.
Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.